Welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast, where it's all about making the ultimate leap from your 9 to 5 and building a business and life you love, all while doing it your way. I'm your host, Amanda Bolin. Let's get started.
Hello, my friends and She Did It Her Way listeners. Welcome back to another episode of the She Did It Her Way podcast. Today, I'm so excited to bring Lauren McManus, who is one of the co-founders in an online company called Create and Go. I actually enrolled in one of their courses and got really familiar with what it is that they do. It's absolutely amazing. And Lauren has been a professional blogger since 2016 with a degree in accounting. She has taken her life experience and business knowledge and used it to grow 2 blogs, Avocado and Create and Go, to 6 and 7 figures. She is a traveling digital nomad who loves sharing her blogging knowledge with the world. I'm so excited for you guys to dive into today's interview because Lauren is such a great example of someone who made her ultimate leap. She left public accounting, which we're going to dive into that. And I want to know more just about the emotions you went through when you're like, wait, we're doing this. I'm doing this. I'm quitting, to then growing this 6 to 7 figure business. So Lauren, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Amanda. Wow. What a great intro.
Yeah.
Thanks. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. Well, it's a great intro because I mean, it's you. So, and you have like so many amazing accomplishments and you're such an amazing example for what is possible in building an online business and how you can really be this digital nomad, have an online business and show up every day doing what it is that you want to do. So let's kind of get our listeners up to speed. So tell us what you're doing right now in your own words, and then let's go back to when you were working in public accounting and start there.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm actually in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil right now. I was just telling Amanda, South America is definitely my favorite continent. And I've been traveling a lot over the last year. Now that I have taken the time to build up my businesses, I'm finally getting to enjoy some of that time off. I still work every day while I travel. But yeah, I'm kind of living this lifestyle now where I spend a month in a new country about every month. And I live here and I work here. I'm learning Spanish. And I'm just really, really enjoying this travel while work thing right now.
That is so incredible. And I love that. And it's, like I said, it's such a great example of what anyone can do. Any listener can, you know, if you have that dream of wanting to be location independent and travel the world, like Lauren's doing it. And it's such a great example of what is possible. But take us back to, so we're in 2019 right now. Take us back to when you were working in corporate America. You're in Dallas, Texas, graduated college, and you like certified public accountant. Take us back to those days. And then talk us through your ultimate leap when you decided to quit your job.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was in Dallas, Texas, and so after graduating college, I worked for about 5 years in accounting, just kind of climbing that corporate ladder. I got my master's degree, and then I got my CPA license. I actually got my CPA, my license right a couple months before I ended up quitting my job.
No.
I was just doing the office job thing. I definitely felt that pressure and that sadness of kind of that nagging feeling of like looking out the window every day in my office and feeling a bit trapped, you know, like watching the sun rise and the sunset every day. I would leave early before the sun even rose in the morning to avoid Dallas traffic, which is terrible. And I would often leave, especially during tax season, I would leave after the sun went down. So I felt like I was just chasing weekends, chasing vacations, often vacations that I couldn't even really afford anyway. And you know, the crazy thing is I actually really liked accounting. I was good at it. But I just kind of felt like, is this life? So I met my business partner, Alex Nerney, out in Texas, and he was kind of opposite of me. He was doing the personal training thing, already knew that he wasn't cut out for the 9 to 5 lifestyle. And, he always knew he wanted to do something online. And at the time, we really bonded over our love for health and fitness because he had been a personal trainer for a few years, and I was just coming off of a stint as a hardcore vegan. I had read tons of books. And I was super into health and fitness, and it was kind of that was the topic that we really couldn't shut up about, and our family and friends would always ask us for advice on. And so it kind of just started slowly as like he started this website, and I was like, "What are you doing?" Thought he was kind of crazy. But I started out like helping him out with like a little bit of like WordPress and graphic design stuff, which I had no idea how to do, but I would watch him kind of like playing around with some image. And I was like, that doesn't look good. And I'm very type A accountant personality. So I would just like dive in there and help him. And it kind of just like spiraled from there. I began to help him a little bit more. And it was like this project, whatever this is, it's like, this is fun. And yeah, that's kind of how our first health and wellness blog started. First one ended up actually failing. We created a product. Nobody wanted it. We spent maybe 3 or 4 months on that and it didn't end up working. But then we kind of went back to the drawing board and started our next health and fitness, our next health and wellness website, avocado.com. And from there, we ended up taking that blog to 6 figures in the first year. And, I guess going back to like the job thing, like that was tough for me because we actually ended up throwing in the towel on our jobs and quitting before we were making a dime from our online business.
Hold on. So from a timeline standpoint, you and Alex met, he's already dabbling in this health and fitness, doesn't want to do 9 to 5. He's kind of in this online space. You're like, what the heck? Let me help you with your graphics. What year was that?
That was 2015. So we started the first website kind of like, I think it was like July or so, and dabbled with that for maybe 2-3 months. That one didn't end up working out. Started a new one in September of that year. I ended up quitting my job in January of 2016. And so at the time we were getting some traffic from our blog. But we weren't making a dime yet, and we had both saved up enough money. We were able to move into his dad's house in Seattle because his dad had an empty house up there because isn't there for the winter time. So we're able find a place to live rent free. We canceled our health insurance and we literally just holed up in a house in Seattle. Only had really our food and our phone bill to pay for. So we kind of did the math and we're like, we can do this for about a year and a half before we have to, crawl back with our tail between our legs and go beg for our jobs back. So we're like, let's give it a go. And that made all the difference, to be honest, because, before like splitting time between work and, just working nights and weekends, like it's tough. We did dedicate every spare moment to our new business. And so some of the best advice I can ever give anyone while working that full-time job is to make it your top priority. We said no to brunch and to friends and to everything else for a long time, and nobody understood. People thought we were crazy, but we believed in what we were doing. And that's what ended up making all the difference. And within that first month of having quit our jobs, we were able to turn in our first profit. It was only about $170, but yeah, we made money. It's like, we were like, okay, this is possible. We can do this.
That is amazing. Okay. So I still want to kind of unpack this. Your ultimate leap is what we call it in the She Did It Her Way community. Is that, do you think you would have been as confident to quit your jobs had you not failed at that first website? I want to know more about that. Like, unpack that failure moment and what did you decide to make it mean? How did you use that as leverage to move forward? And did it have any sort of weight in your decision to be like, okay, we already failed. We know what not to do. We can do this. Let's do it.
I don't know that it was necessarily the failure that had a major impact. I will say that it felt good to just take action. A lot of people, when they start a new business, sit there and kind of very slowly step into it. But Alex and I were very, we took action and we took it quickly. We were so dedicated and driven that every week we're trying something new. We would try this way to monetize. If it didn't work, we would immediately try something else. We would test out all kinds of different email opt-ins, all kinds of stuff in our business. We were constantly testing out new strategies and double checking it. And I will say it is a lot of getting kicked down, but it did feel better to constantly stay moving. I think the worst thing that you can do is to try something and either hold on to it for too long or to freeze up and to not try anything because you're scared of failing again. So, I guess after we did overcome that failure, it was kind of like, we did sit and we talked to ourselves, and I remember this conversation. We said, what is the absolute worst thing that could happen? Because we had saved up money, it wasn't like we were going to be on the streets with absolutely no money and nowhere to live. We had family that would always take us in if we really needed it. At the end of the day, the worst thing that could happen is that we blow through some of our savings and we take a year off work and we try, you know, because, and we're lucky that we didn't have kids, and some of the other responsibilities that other people do have. But we had a very nice apartment, a very nice life in Dallas. And, so yeah, that was kind of our thought process. And as far as like that moment, like when we were quitting, I remember there was a lot of discussion about it, and I began to feel more and more unease with my job as time went on. We weren't making any money or anything yet, but I felt so much joy from working on this new business. I actually enjoyed, I'd be counting down the hours at my accounting job doing taxes to go home and to work on this business. And I would find myself messing around with my website while I was on work hours. And that didn't sit well with me because obviously it was being paid by a company. So I began to feel this unease and this wrongness with working my full-time job while I was so desperate to be working on this other project that I was passionate about. And I remember I was reading The Millionaire Fastlane. I read a few books, 4-Hour Workweek, you know, those typical ones. But I was reading The Millionaire Fastlane, and something in that book triggered something with me one day. And I remember texting Alex on my way home from work, and I said, I'm done. I'm going to quit. I don't know. Like this feels right. And working right now doesn't feel right. And yeah. And I just listened to that gut feeling. And I would just encourage anybody to always do that. That's something that Alex and I always do in our business. We don't do a whole lot of goal setting and hardcore planning, but we always try to make decisions in our business with what feels right in our guts, whether it's related to our customers, related to our business, related to our team. If it doesn't feel right in our gut, then we definitely change course because of that.
What is something on the topic of, you know, listening to your gut, if you can remember, a time when you made a gut decision where other people might have been like, why aren't you, where some people would have been like, that doesn't make sense. You should do this. But you guys are like, no, our gut says this.
Well, I can say one thing that stands out is one of the biggest gut decisions that we made was actually removing an upsell. Actually, it wasn't an upsell. Well, it was, but it was, we started a community program, with our weight loss blog with Avocado. And, our audience is a little bit older on that blog. I mean, our average audience member is probably about a 40, 45 year old woman. And they're not as tech savvy as, you know, the people that we teach on our online business blog because they're much older. And so we started this membership program and we offered it as a one-click upsell when people bought our product. So they would buy our product and then they would immediately get an offer to join this membership program. And it made us a lot of money. But the problem was that our audience didn't quite understand what they were opting into. We tried to make it as clear as day because we're definitely never into tricking anyone or anything like that. We tried to make it as clear as day, but they still didn't quite understand. And we tried to modify it and make it work. And it was going to be a really, really big revenue stream for us. And we just ended up scrapping it. We said, you know what, this isn't right. We need to find another way to monetize more on this audience because this method isn't going to work. While there's some people who understand it and like it and enjoy it, too many people are confused by it or upset with the process. And so there's been a few different sales related things that we've implemented and then changed our minds because of feedback that we've gotten. Or just because this gut feeling of like, you know what, this isn't the absolute best experience for our customers. And we don't want that because at the end of the day, part of making that money online is that you're helping people. And we take a lot of joy from being able to help people lose as much weight as possible and, you know, start their own online businesses.
Yeah, no, thank you for sharing that. Cause I think, you know, some people, like you were saying, if it brings in a lot of revenue, there could be so many ways to justify it or want to keep it. Yet if your gut is saying, this isn't really in full alignment, like it doesn't feel good. And then having that relief and kind of almost going back to where you had shared that you were driving home from your corporate job and you're like, I just want to work on the business. The business is so fun. And following almost where the fun's at and then allowing to let that unfold. So then you guys quit your job, left. It's 2016, it's January. You have Avocado. At what point do you guys then decide to build Create and Go? And share with us a little bit about, you know, what is Create and Go and the backstory of it and how you guys help people start online businesses in that capacity.
Yeah, of course. So in those first few months, I think I said in January, I think we made $170 our first month. And actually the first 5 months after that, we doubled our revenues every month. And it was just because we did have a lot, we had a lot of traffic coming from Pinterest at the time. So we were able to test out a lot of things with that traffic. And once you begin to make a little bit of money, it becomes a little bit easier to scale what's kind of working, to dive into looking to see where that money's coming from and how you're making it and to kind of scale it. So those first few months, we kept testing out new email opt-ins, new ways to monetize. We kept testing out all kinds of stuff, and we were able to start scaling that. And that was the part where I began to really feel like this is my thing too. Like I will say, like, Alex was always our creative guy at the beginning. He did all of our writing, all the marketing, you know, and me being like an accountant, I was kind of terrified of anything that wasn't within my comfort zone. So I did a lot of the managing of the businesses, the finance, and I did handle like our Pinterest stuff. But that was the part that was fun for me, because that was when I got to kind of dive into the numbers and see what the traffic numbers are, what the money numbers are. And I learned that if I just tweaked this thing or tweaked this thing, it would make our sales raise. And feeling that control over your income and seeing, that money rolling into your bank account because of changes you're making, like, that's where I began to really, really fall in love with it, and kind of hit some of my stride. And that's where I kind of found the passion to come out of my comfort zone a little bit with those other tasks in the business. And so anyway, the first few months we were scaling a lot. We ended up making six figures. We ended up making $103,000 throughout that first year with that blog. And a lot of this was because we were getting a lot of traffic through Pinterest. And Alex, I have an accounting degree. Alex also has a business degree. So we both, and he wrote his first ebook out of college. So we're both very passionate about business. And we had always kind of thought that we would like to go into some kind of online business kind of website, because we did know that they make pretty good money. And it's also a passion of ours. But we obviously didn't know what we were doing at the beginning. So there's a lot of people teaching people how to start businesses when they don't really had the experience. So it was really important to us to get this experience from our first blog and to figure out what we were doing. And so basically after that next year, I think we started Create and Go in September of that next year of 2016. And the first course that we created was just a course on driving traffic through Pinterest. We didn't really yet know that we were going to teach about blogging or what we were going to do. We just knew that we had learned a lot about driving traffic through Pinterest, and it was one of the biggest reasons for our success. So that was the very first course that we created on Create and Go. And the idea behind, and we actually started it while we were in Nicaragua. It was our first, very first trip outside of the country since we had started our blog. We spent a month there, and the idea for the website was, creating, because we're all creators. Any business that you start, you're creating something, and especially an online business. So the idea was to create and then go. Go was the travel part, because that was one of the biggest driving factors for us starting our online business, is we wanted to travel while we were young and still could enjoy it and afford it. So that was kind of the idea behind createandgo.com. We created our first course on Pinterest, and then we had a lot of people that were like, hey, I'm interested in how to do that, but they didn't know much about the business side of it. And so it kind of just spiraled from there. We just created courses on, we really open up in our courses, we really open up what we did. We try to teach from the standpoint of our health and wellness blog so that people can understand how to apply the strategies that we teach in a completely different niche other than, online business. So that's kind of how we started it. And we run both of them now full time.
Yeah. I mean, I love it. So I've taken Six Figure Blogger. And one of the things that I really appreciate about your guys' teaching style and the way that it's set up is that it's like very much you guys take behind the scenes, you build it and show it. And so it's very, I appreciate it from my learning style, because I always like to see someone in action doing something versus reading or getting a PowerPoint. And that's one of the things that I've tried to work into my courses, because I know it was so helpful for me taking your guys' course. And so I just really appreciated like how raw the material was, and it wasn't like over perfected. It has to be perfect. It was just like, hey, here it is. Here's how you do it. Bang, bang, bang. And so I just like really love that about your guys' content inside the courses.
Yeah. Thanks for saying that. That's actually, I think that people look at they look at successful businesses and it's so daunting. They think I can't do that because they see this beautiful finished product. And we actually got that comment a lot. One of the biggest, most resounding comments that we've had in our YouTube channel is actually just how the word transparent keeps popping up all over the place. And I think it's because of how unpolished we were. I mean, a lot of our YouTube videos were Alex kind of just reading over a blog post, and you can see his little face in the corner of the screen. His hair is a mess because he just got out of the surf in Nicaragua. And, you know, but it was just kind of like, we have great information that we need to share, and we're not going to take, we didn't take as much time to make that perfectly polished. You know, we just put it out there, and we've gotten more, a little bit more polished over time. And I know I was terrified to go on video. The first time I ever did, I got blasted for my voice. I cried.
What?
And somebody told me that I had vocal fry, and I didn't even know what that was. I had to Google it, and then I just started crying because it was so hard for me to put myself out there, and I immediately did, and I got a couple of negative comments. And you know, now I know not to take that stuff as personally anymore, but it's super hard when you're first getting started. And but I think the important thing is that Alex and I just put ourselves out there, and we still, you know, our courses are still somewhat unpolished. You know, they're definitely not perfect by any means, but you know, people love our strategies, and like, that's the most important thing, is that our customers get results, and like, that's what we care about. And so, you know, I kind of think, don't spend 6 extra months making your content absolutely perfect, especially when you're gonna have to change it all the time anyway. Just get it out there and make sure that you're helping people as best that you can.
Yeah, no, that's such, I love that advice too, because I think even I've experienced this, I've had an idea for a course and then I would sit on it, or I would talk myself out of it, and I would think, okay, the longer I spend building the course, the better it's going to be. And in reality, it's not that way. And one of the courses that I put together within a week, what is Scale Your Way. And it like continues to be one of the courses that I get so much positive feedback on, and people love how like just straight to the point it is. And I think that especially like even starting out using this, like as you're tuning in, your courses don't have to be perfect and polished, because what, like you said, you're going to go through iterations. You're probably going to update it. You're going to probably make it polished over time, but at least just get that first course out, obviously validate it, make sure it's something that people want, but doing it that way. So I love it. Yeah. Your guys' courses are really, they're teachable, and you know, you obviously get results from the strategy. So that's amazing. Okay. So that was in 2016. Now it's 2019. You guys have, you know, consistently hit 6-figure months. Where along the journey, I mean, did you have any like, oh my God, this is happening moment? And then talk to us about the scaling aspect from when you started to now. You were saying, you guys are traveling different country. One of the things, like, you invested in your team. I would love for you to share some of that, like going from 80 hour work weeks to now, what does your day look like?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest like wow moment, was definitely the first month. We were hitting, I remember like hitting 10,000 a month, and that was like, wow, that's a lot. We were also splitting that, so between two people, it's a lot of money, but it's also, you know, with our previous salaries, it wasn't enough to go out and travel the world like crazy and stuff. But I remember we had this one month, we had this Pinterest pin go viral. We hadn't even started Create and Go yet, and it was just in the health and wellness blog. And we had this Pinterest pin go viral, and we ended up getting 97,000 views to one article in one day. Yeah. I think at the time we had reached maybe $15,000 in a month. But this month we ended up making $40,000 in a single month, and we made $5,000 in one single day. And we had shut our computers off for something to go to brunch with our friends. And you know, one of us checked our emails, and we were like, wait, what's going on? Because we were getting flooded with all these sales, and we're like, what's happening? And we get home and we look at the traffic stats, and this Pinterest pin has gone viral, and we get this massive flood of traffic to this one article, and we got tons of email opt-ins. The sales started pouring in over the next few days. And that was one of the coolest moments, because we were just in complete and utter shock, and it really kind of showed us what was possible. Because we kind of hit that $10,000 a month mark, but we were like, wow, this is, It was just kind of mind blowing. It was really mind blowing. It was unexpected, and it just opened our eyes up to what could be possible. So that was definitely a really big moment. There's been a few others here and there when we've hit certain milestones. I remember just, you know, one time was when we were out traveling in Portugal, and we had at the time was our best month ever, and at the time we made 75,000 in 1 month, and that was the highest that we'd ever gone. And it's mind blowing because you're just like, I know that other people are doing it, but I still didn't feel like it was like I was doing it, you know, that it was possible for me. And so, yeah, that was pretty crazy. And I will say, as far as building the team goes, I wish that we had done it a lot sooner. especially I think when you build your own business, it's like, it's so easy to just get used to just doing everything yourself. I mean, you have to wear all the hats. You have to wear the content hat, the marketing hat, the customer service hat, the sales hat. You learn, and I do think it's important for you to learn all those skills, because I think that I watch people try to outsource certain things too early, and if they don't yet know enough about that particular topic or area, it's hard to manage other people doing it as well. So I think it's important to wear all those hats and to learn as much as you can about your business and about your audience before you begin to outsource. But I have that mindset of like, I can do it better, you know? And so I'm very, I'm a bit controlling and type A, like I said before. So it was very difficult for me to let go. And we kind of just started out outsourcing the customer service. But even that, I was afraid to let it go because I was that direct line to my customers. I knew exactly what they were happy with, what they were unhappy with. It allowed me to learn how to market my products better because I knew what people liked and didn't like. So it's hard to take space from that and to give it up to someone else, especially when you know that you know your audience better and you can do a better job. But at the end of the day, you have to begin to outsource because you won't have time to do that higher level, you know, marketing and strategy stuff for your business if you are running around talking to every single customer and putting every, you know, putting all the fires and stuff. So yeah, that was kind of, we started out with just like a customer service rep, and now we have, I think we have 5 or 6 people on our team. No, I think it's more like 7 or 8 because we have some core members of our team. And then we also have, you know, 2 or 3 freelancers that help us out a lot. And what was really the game changer for us, and it was actually only this year, we've been, you know, in this business now for over 3 years. It was actually only this year that we really started building out our team. And I will say using Slack, Slack is an app that lets you chat with people. I use it with my travel group, the Wi-Fi Tribe. We use it to communicate when we're out traveling together. But we use it, a lot of businesses now use it, and we use it on our team. And that changed things, going from Alex and I texting and emailing to being able to organize all of the different projects that we have in these different channels. Our whole team is in it. We joke in there. We talk about business. It's a way for us to always be in constant communication with each other. But it's also helped us really build a relationship with one another as well. So yeah, that's actually been one of my bigger projects this year. Alex and I both is learning how to hire people and how to fire people and how to manage a team. And it's been weird. It's been weird because you get used to just running your own business, and then now you're actually kind of like running like a company. And it makes it feel a bit more real, I think.
Yeah. Slack is amazing. And we have, I think 1, 2, 3, there's 4 of us on there. And even just having that though, it makes it so much easier. And Slack, obviously there's a free version too as well. So if you're listening and you're thinking, oh, it's just me and one other person, it's such a great way. I totally recommend getting in the habit of using Slack so that as you continue to grow, you're already building in that habit. But yeah, it's amazing. So then today, you guys busted your bums off and you've built your company, you kept moving forward, made mistakes, tweaked it, did all this stuff, like said no to brunches, put your head down. And one of the things that I know that you've shared too is, you know, balance doesn't really exist when you're in the early stages of building your business. It doesn't. And I think that's one of the myths as well, is like you have to give all your extra free time, especially if you're working a full-time job or even putting in the circumstance of having, you know, a family and then even children. But one, it's that no effort is like none of all the effort is, it's not wasted. It's building up over time. But can you speak to just your own opinion, not opinion, but like Any sort of, you know, mindset or tips that you can welcome or provide to people who might be in that phase where they're like grinding it out, for lack of a better word? And how can you provide that inspiration for them to keep going outside of the fact that this is the byproduct if you do keep going of your life right now, right? But what were some of the things that you told yourself in those moments?
Yeah, absolutely. I love this question because I don't believe that there's much of a balance. I really don't. I think that if you want to create a balance, then that's fine. Do it your way, but understand that it's going to take you a lot longer to reach your goal. I know that it's not always healthy to be unbalanced. I can say that at times Alex and I's diet suffered a little bit. We stopped working out for a period of time. Our social life suffered a little bit. Our relationship with each other suffered at times, but honestly, just focusing in every day on that one most important thing, which is our business, it's what made all the difference. It's why we had such fast success. So, I think that you need to evaluate your life and the people in it and what you're doing, and do your best. And you know, we communicated that with our family and friends as well. Like, they knew that this was important to us, and they understood and supported us because, you know, it was our baby. It was so important to us. So, make sure that you communicate with that with people. But, we spent nights and weekends and we worked 80 hour weeks sometimes. And even when we quit our full-time jobs, we still worked 80 hours a week. We purposely moved up to Seattle away from family and friends because we didn't want the distraction. And we worked a lot. We didn't really take time off. But it's all the reason that we found that success so quickly. And I will say that, you know, now that I travel a lot, I meet people that are out traveling with me that, you know, are inspired by what I've done in my life. And they ask, you know, I want to do that. And they tell me like what they're doing. And I'm like, but you're still out traveling the world and you're surfing and you're shopping. You know, it's like, how badly do you want it? And the thing is that when Alex and I first started traveling internationally with the Wi-Fi Tribe, I think I said we had, you know, had our business for about a year, year and a half, if you count the first few months of failure. We would go out and travel with the Wi-Fi Tribe we'd spend about a month out or maybe 2 months out in another country. We would work way more than other people did. People would go out on weekend trips. We often would stay on some of the weekends and work. And yeah, I mean, we're out in a foreign country, so what's the point? But for us, working by the beach in another country and still getting to experience some of it was better than not being there. But we would go and we'd work for a month or two, and then we would go back home for 3 months and we would put heads down and keep building our business. And that was how we traveled for the first year and a half or so, was just a month or two and then go home for a few months and then go back out again. Because we could not sustain this lifestyle of like full-time travel and working. And now I can say that I've actually been out of the States for 15 months now. I go back home. There's actually a big tax credit that you get if you don't actually live in the States. So, that's what I'm doing now. Yeah. It's been 15 months and I'm only back in the States. Every 2-3 months I'm home for about 5 days or so. And, it's just kind of this weird, crazy lifestyle that I'm living, but I'm able to do that now because I made sure that I prioritize my business at home. So when I meet people that are still trying to do this, all this fun stuff, but also trying to make money from it, it's, you know, it doesn't really work that way. You do need to put in the work. I'm like, I meet people traveling and I say, if you really want to travel and you want this lifestyle, you need to actually go home and you need to build the business first and then come out and enjoy a little bit more. No matter what, the more balanced you are and the more time that you give in for play and relaxation, it's just going to take you a little bit longer to get there. And I think that if you're able to be a little more unbalanced and make it so, so, so important to you, if you want it that badly, I truly do believe that most people will succeed, because that's going to be the difference between you giving up and, I just think it's so important.
Yeah. That was so good. I want to wrap it up there, but I do have a couple more follow-up questions, but that is such good advice and such a, how do I say it? Like a truth bomb of anyone can do it, but it's how bad do you want it? And your time is such a, I mean, time is another discussion, but for the most part, the way a lot of us look at it is that it's this limited resource and we have to make decisions with how we want to spend it, what we're doing. And it's all like building up over time and putting in that effort. But the more that you're willing to, you know, put in the time and energy to build it, the faster it's going to come. So it's like, you can either decide, okay, to have balance and drag it out, or you can just get really unbalanced for a certain amount of time and just push and go hard and keep going and then get to a place where then it's like, okay, now you can maybe let go of the gas a little bit more. So I just love your rawness and the transparency of the message. So, couple last questions. One is, how does your day look like now that you travel? So how are you? I mean, you have a team now, but do you have a routine? Because I know your health is important to you. So what does that look like?
Yeah, I am a very routine person. And it took a while for me to get used to that while traveling, because traveling, you're kind of in a constant state of flux. but every time I get out to a new country, which is about, you know, I spend about 4 weeks in a new country, and I spend a day kind of finding my yoga studio, finding my grocery store, finding a couple of cafes. I'm personally a cafe worker. So, you know, I do travel with this group called the Wi-Fi Tribe. There's about 15 to 20 of us together sharing apartments. And we're all remote workers doing our own businesses, freelancing, you know, whatever. Some people love to work from home. I personally love kind of putting my headphones in and just being in the busy environment in a cafe. For some weird reason, it helps me focus. Mm. So I do yoga. That's definitely, a part of my everyday. I do that. I take yoga classes. I try to do it myself, but for accountability, I often take classes, but I do a yoga class a day, and I generally find a great cafe and kind of post up there almost every day and just get my coffee and get in my zone. And yeah, it's now my day to day is kind of working on projects right now. I'm rebuilding one of my courses. I'm managing my team. So I'm often on Slack chatting with my team, and I spend the morning kind of working at cafes. Sometimes I work from home. Sometimes I join co-working spaces. There's all those across the world as well. So I meet new people, and generally I kind of fall into this routine of actually quite funny. It's a 9 to 5, but it's on my terms, because if I want to take time off in the morning or the afternoon, or if I would just want a whole day off, I take it whenever I want. So there's still that flexibility, but, now that I'm with my travel group and stuff, we all tend to kind of work about 9 to 5 throughout the week. And then night times we all go out to dinner together, exploring the cities that we're in. We take weekend trips, well, you know, we're in Brazil right now, so we've been taking trips out and hiking in the jungle. And I've been running on the beach every morning for exercise here. So sometimes it looks a little bit different, but I do have I need to find my really great cafes. I need to find my grocery store and my places to get healthy food. I'm a huge health nut, even when I travel. And I do have to have my daily workout in as well.
Yeah. It's knowing your core ingredients that sets you up for success. I love it. Like, totally there. Cause it's one of those things where, you know, if you don't get it in, or like get the workout or the eating healthy or having that, it kind of can throw off the focus, but that's amazing. So congratulations on just everything that you've done and you guys have built and Create and Go and, Avocado, all of that. So Lauren, thank you so much for coming on the show. Can you share with my listeners a little bit more about where they can find out more information about Create and Go, and then yourself as well?
Yeah, of course. So I guess if you want to follow any of my travels, my Instagram handle is at Laurenitous, Laurenitous. But I just kind of post my travel stuff there. It's not work related. If you want to find out more about the business, createandgo.com is definitely the place to go. We also have a YouTube channel, Create and Go. So that's where all of our videos are as well.
Amazing. Well, Lauren, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. And I can't wait for my listeners to tune into such an amazing episode with you today.
Oh, thanks so much, Amanda. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
If you enjoyed today's podcast episode, you can head on over to shedidithowaypodcast.com, where you can access the entire vault of She Did It Her Way podcast episodes and more information all about how to make the ultimate leap from your 9 to 5. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I would be so grateful if you headed on over to iTunes and left a review letting me know what you love about the She Did It Her Way podcast. Until next time, keep doing it your way.